Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Oh, so let's see if you'll be able to speak in, okay? If not, then just text me. Just wherever you're called in, just on the same line. I'm actually starting, the show has started.
Good afternoon, listeners. Our show has started. Your show host, Divya Parekh, is here with my esteemed guest, Daniel Trimpe. And in today's show, we are going to learn several aspects of website design, branding, and marketing, as well as many common pitfalls that business owners fall into when developing a website. So today we are going to cover topics like WordPress, search engine optimization, web hosting, call to actions, as well as branding and marketing. Let me introduce my guest, Mr. Daniel Trimpe. Daniel?
You're not able to speak in, are you? Hello?
So Daniel started Page Progressive in 2005. He's a magna cum laude graduate of NC State with a Bachelor of Science in Technology Education with a minor field of study in graphic communications. Formerly a middle school teacher, he has a passion for good service and great design. He's currently working on an M division, Masters of Divisions at Shepherd's Theological Seminary, and resides with his wife, two sons, and a daughter in Fuquay, Varina. He enjoys playing his drums, guitar, target shooting with air guns, adventure outdoors, and cheering for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And of course, I'm your host. As part of being a leadership wellness coach, I help professionals, executives, coaches, and youth embrace their inner confidence and endeavor for continual enrichment.
Hello?
We have Daniel on the line. Wonderful.
Oh, good. It's working. I was on the line earlier, and I don't think you could hear me, but you can hear me now, I guess.
Yes, I can. And listeners, apologize for a rocky start. However, as always, we are going to have a great show where we are going to learn a whole lot. And as I was mentioning, I love to help executives, professionals, coaches, and youth embrace their inner confidence and endeavor for continual enrichment to achieve desired potential and success. I help coaches, trainers, and service providers develop customized information for the clients. And without further ado, let's go ahead and get started on today's show. So welcome, Daniel. And
hi. Well, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity to join you on the show today, Divya.
Really apologize for the technological hookups. And, you know, it happens sometimes, as I'm sure you yourself are aware, being a technology guru.
Oh, yes, I... Unfortunately, with technology, it doesn't always work the way you expect it to. So, yeah, no worries.
No, thank you. Appreciate it. So I did go ahead and introduce you. However, if you will share with our audience and listeners a little bit about yourself and what attracted you towards the website designing and the new bane of existence, so to speak, because without internet and without websites, we cannot survive in today's world.
Sure, sure. So I started out as a technology education teacher with a minor in graphic communications, and I freelanced on the side doing web development as a student at NC State, and saw quickly that there was a large demand for web developers out there, and over time transitioned from teaching over to this, and found a passion in the creative aspects of web development in particular. passion of mine is graphic design, and so when I first got involved, it was the graphic design of things was what interests me the most, and I also enjoyed the coding and all that was involved, and at that time, it wasn't quite as sophisticated as it is now, and these days, you have people that specialize in very specific areas like JavaScript programming or search engine optimization, and it certainly does change a lot quickly. Web development technology is constantly rolling, and so we have to keep on top of that, and that's also exciting as well.
Wow. All those things roll off your tongue so smoothly, and when I sit down with the website, sometimes I'm just sitting there staring at it. I can get through some of the routine things. However, I have to share the story, audience, that, you know, usually developing website can be easy. However, it can be traumatic as well. So initially, when I and my partner had started out to develop a website, we outsourced it. It was cheaper, and we thought, oh, you know, it's only a website. Let's go ahead and outsource it. And now, because we had outsourced it, it was the return of the response was pretty delayed. Like, you know, we would send the email, then they would send back. We were scheduled to release our website within 15 days, and here we are, like, we are getting very close. We have advertised it that, you know, our website is going to be released. This is the start of a business, and the website is nowhere in sight. And then we finally said we will say goodbye to the money, and we looked locally, and I will tell you, somebody referred Daniel to me, and we went with Daniel, and I'll tell you, that's the day, and today's the day I've never looked back. Daniel will be sharing his contact information in the end. However, that said, if there are any website designs, anything that you need to reach out, I can personally attest my experience with Daniel and say it's been a wonderful journey. And so going back to that, yes, creating websites can be easy, and it can be a rocky road as well. So,
right.
Furthering the conversation, Daniel, I'd like to say thank you for being our savior and helping us out throughout our journey. It has been a tremendous journey together. So thank you.
Oh, certainly. Well, thank you for the kind words, and it's been a pleasure working with you, and I think that what you just described there is unfortunately, a common experience for a lot of folks that are starting a business, and perhaps their budget isn't, you know, huge for the website development side of things, and there's a plenty of tools out there where you can develop your own website, and I've just found over time that people tend to sometimes get over their head, or they end up working with people that to keep the cost down, and find that the turnaround is they weren't getting what they were promised, and not happy with the results and that type of thing. So I found that, you know, even though there are great tools out there to build websites, I believe there's always going to be a need out there for people who can come alongside business owners, help them to utilize these tools properly. And if anything, with these tools that make it easier to develop websites, sometimes, you know, makes things a little bit more complicated. I mean, the internet continues to grow, and there's a lot of aspects to website development, like not just how does it look, but is it friendly to mobile devices? Does it rank well on search engines? There's a lot of other considerations in there, and it's hard for any one individual, especially if this isn't your industry, to keep track of all that and to be aware of all those things at one time. So, anyway, I know you had some questions specifically for me. I don't know if you want to jump into any of those or.
So yeah, no, definitely. Let's jump into those. So, Daniel, you mentioned that we can use some simple tools to create our own website, especially for startup entrepreneurs on a tight budget. So what tools would you recommend for them?
Sure. So there are plenty of free website options out there. There's like Wix.com, and there's a number of them out there that give you a basic ability to go in there and create a very simple website. It's kind of drag and drop. You lay it out the way that you want, and you can create even the layperson can do a pretty simple website on their own. Now, once you get into, and that works great for folks that, you just need a very simple brochure site, and the graphic design doesn't have to be custom. You don't mind using a templated layout of some sort that the system provides. So that sometimes is a great fit for some people when they're just getting started. From tools like that, and some hosting companies also have website builders built into the hosting control panel. And so you may find that with your hosting company, they may have something along those lines. And so those types of setups, they're good because it's something you can generally do yourself. Depending on your level of technical know-how and comfort level, it's a pretty good fit for those that are just getting started and have a smaller budget. Downside is you can't customize it a whole lot, and most of the time you can't integrate things like shopping carts, or you don't have a whole lot of control over your search engine optimization, or if you had custom functionality, you want contact forms or other things like that. Sometimes that's where you run into some issues with these kind of drag and drop, easy to use editors, but the feature set is generally pretty weak. So the next step up from there, I would say WordPress is a good platform to look at, and there's a lot of different ways you can go with WordPress. WordPress, a lot of people don't realize this, but there's two different services that WordPress offers. There's WordPress.com and there's WordPress.org. WordPress.com is a hosted blog. You could use it for a simple website as well. It's free unless they do have some other features you can pay for, but a general website is free through that. You go to WordPress.com, you set up a free account. You can create generally it's designed for blogs. You can create a simple site, and they have a number of templates and things that you can choose from and integrate that with your site. WordPress is a much more powerful platform. You've got plugins and different things that you can utilize. I'd say the WordPress.com option, where it's hosted, they provide the hosting, they provide the solution all in one space. That's probably a step up from something like Wix. But then on the other side of the coin, WordPress.org is the open source property of WordPress. And so they actually have a WordPress system, and its files you can download, and then you can install that at any web hosting company that you choose to use. And when you go that route, your flexibility gets increases significantly. So at that point, you can create custom themes if you needed to, and that's something a developer would need to do for you probably. It gets a bit more complicated to set up as well. But you've got a lot more flexibility as far as if you want to code it to look a certain way or function a certain way, that you can't do that with WordPress.com because that's a fixed platform just like Wix would be or some other drag and drop type editor. So WordPress is a wonderful.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So Daniel, that's really great information between the WordPress and the WordPress.org. So we talked about the WordPress. So let's say if somebody is just getting ready to go ahead and get the name out there. So then having those simple blogs and having a page where people can land on and where they can know about you, who you are, So in that event, a simple website should suffice. Is that correct?
It really depends on the individual or the company's situation and when they launch. Are they looking to have a, really tight website with clear branding and all those things that might involve a graphic designer to help with? If you're just looking for a very simple page to acknowledge, hey, I'm here, I'm on the internet, I do exist, and here's our contact information, then these types of, WordPress.com or Wix, or even lead pages possibly could be a good option to allow you to create a simple landing page, so to speak. People can go to, they can get your contact information, they could subscribe to a mailing list perhaps. And then once you get to, once you get to the point where you need something more robust than that, then you can always move from that to, for example, the WordPress.org option that I mentioned. So it varies on your needs. I mean, there's some people they're launching a new product and they need to have a very specific look and feel, and a custom designed website might make a lot of sense for them. Now the budget is going to be significantly higher for something like that versus these other things that we've been talking about. But if you're a small business owner and you really don't, your focus is not on online marketing so much, but you want to have a simple presence, then things like Wix or WordPress.com might be a good place just to get your feet wet, learn a little bit about, how websites work, and then eventually hire a developer to help you to take it from there.
No, that's a great point. So let's say, for example, there is someone who's, let's talk about a small entrepreneur. A small entrepreneur, they're only providing one service.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, a dentist, they still need to have the web presence, and what they're doing is they're providing only one service, that is being a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And the different types of subcategories within that service. So for those people, would just a single splash page be enough?
For a dentist, probably not. Most dentist websites that I'm aware of and sites that we've developed for dentists, they're looking for something that is more than just a simple one-page landing page, so to speak. Usually, things like doctors are a good example, dentists and doctors. Having that trust from the prospective patients is really important, because when patients, if they're evaluating you based off of your website and somebody goes out there and Googles to find dentist in your area, for one thing, you want to make sure your site appears in that search. But let's say that it does. Once people look at your site versus a competitor, you kind of have to look at, depending on your industry, and this is a good rule of thumb for any industry, but take dentists for example. You go out there and you search for, dentists Raleigh, and go look at what some of these other people are doing. You'll get a feel for kind of what they're, what you're up against as far as what are your potential patients looking at. And I think that for a dentist, most of them that I've seen have invested in a well-done site that is carefully thought out as far as the images that are used and the graphic design involved. And usually there's more than one or two or three pages. There's several pages to talk about each of the different services and perhaps about the team, about the doctor. So most of the time when we're working with dentists, they are interested in going with a custom developed site of some sort. And usually we use WordPress for that, so that the doctors or the office manager or whoever that's there can manage the content, post news and updates and things like that themselves.
So now that's really a good point, as we'll continue with the WordPress, is finding out what is it that you're sharing with your clients. Is it, if you're developing the trust, then maybe having a couple of pages may work. So now that leads to the question, are there templates, pre-built templates in WordPress where you could have 2 to 3 different pages and could make their own WordPress websites?
Yes, there definitely is. And there's a great website, if you're interested in WordPress and you've got your feet wet a bit with it and you're just geeky enough that you feel comfortable with uploading files to a server and you understand how web hosting works and that kind of thing, templates are maybe a good way to proceed. There's a great website. It's themeforest.net. We use that a lot with our clients, and there's thousands of templates there. They run from $30 to $60 or so for the template. The thing about templates, and this is, I guess, a word of caution for templates. Sometimes they're a wonderful fit, just depending on what you're looking for. But whenever we have clients and they're trying to maybe reduce the budget a little bit, and so they're willing to go with a template as opposed to a custom design site. With templates, generally, when you're looking at them online and you're evaluating, do I want this template or maybe this one over here? It can be difficult to figure out, you know, which is going to fit your company, the purpose of your site the best, because you're trying to make the functionality of your business online fit into what this template can do. Versus with a custom design site, it's, well, we know this is what we're trying to accomplish, so you design it around what you're trying to accomplish. So it's kind of a inverse perspective on that, but with the thing with templates that a lot of times people don't understand is, you know, that you have the lower cost of, because you don't have to develop it because it's already there. You purchase it, you install it, and then someone can help you perhaps to get that installed and learn how to use it. But the templates can be more difficult to make modifications to over time. Just depends on the template. Some are easier to work with than others, but usually when I'm talking with clients and they're considering using a WordPress template, I'll tell them, you know, look at these examples and assume you can't really change anything you see on the demo for that template. Now, of course, your logo could switch and the pictures could switch and the text is going to be different. But unless you see a feature there within the demo of the theme, don't assume that you can kind of do whatever you want with it as far as layout. Because some people, they look at it and say, oh, yeah, that's a good-looking template. Let's go with that. But then in the next few weeks, they decide, oh, but we want to move that over here, and we want to move this over there and change the color of this. And so when you start doing that with templates, sometimes you get into a difficult situation because you could end up, you know, having to customize the theme in such a way in order to accomplish what you wanted to do, that later when there's an update available for the theme, it could break or you have kind of unforeseen issues down the road. So that would be one word of caution. You know, templates are, they can be a wonderful solution in many cases, but they're not always the best fit for everybody. It really just depends on, you know, your level of technical savviness and, you know, how much help you would need through that process and what exactly you need the website to do. But and I could speak more on that, but I know that there's probably more questions that you'd like to ask, Divya. But does that answer your question sufficiently?
Yes, it does. No, definitely it does, because it goes, again, defining what is it that you need. So before you go ahead and start the website, because, you know, the website is something like, it's almost like a house. If you have invested in the house, you keep on adding on to it. So before purchasing the house, sit down and figure out what are your needs, who you are serving, what are the needs, will you be able to accomplish the needs? And as every entrepreneur goes into the business with a budget or with a small budget or big budget according to the needs, so what I'm understanding, and please correct me if I'm not getting it correctly, is that it's very crucial to sit down and have a clear point of view of what, have a clear vision of what your website should look like, because now that's going to become your home on internet. In lieu of your being there in person, it needs to reflect your personality. It needs to reflect something that people can relate to and start trusting.
That's exactly right. That's well said. I think that a lot of, particularly small businesses just getting started, they look at a website as kind of an afterthought. Oh, we need to have something up there, but I don't really care what it is, what it looks like, and how it functions. Let's just get something up there. And unfortunately, a lot of people evaluate who they're going to work with based off of their web presence. And just like with other areas of marketing for any business, it's important to have some type of a strategy going into that. You know, if you launch a business and you have no idea how you're going to get new clients, you're going to have a problem. That definitely needs to be something that is carefully considered, and often business owners need to seek counsel in that area, not necessarily just from a web designer, but marketing companies in general to figure out, you know, what are the services or the products that we're offering? Who's going to buy these? Who should we be marketing to? And there's a lot of thought that goes into that process. And so once that's really, that stuff ought to be fleshed out and solidified first before ever jumping into a website, because often, you know, those needs and who you're trying to target is going to affect how's that website going to look and how's it laid out. When you kind of jump in without considering that, you end up with a website that probably doesn't last very long for you. A few months down the road, you're going to figure out, well, we didn't really consider this, and we're just hobbling along, so to speak, and then you need to redo it. But at least that's been my experience in the past.
Mm-hmm. No, makes perfect sense, definitely. So now we have built a website. The next step is to get people to find it online.
Mm-hmm.
How can one go about that?
So once you've got a website, getting to the point where people are finding online, there's many different tactics to doing that. And again, it's going to vary depending on your business and your marketing strategies, your sales cycles, what does all that look like. But the general areas that we look at as far as drawing traffic to your website are going to be in the areas of search engine optimization. That's making sure that your website is coded in such a way that if when a search engine looks at it, it says, hey, we should show up on page number one for dentist Raleigh, NC. And so search engine optimization is the process of making sure that that you're tagging things in such a way that when a search engine looks at your site and the content on your site, oh yeah, I'm in the right place. Someone searches for dentist Raleigh, we've got a page that talks about dentist Raleigh. Now, in addition to that, often just by doing SEO, you may not find yourself on page number one depending on how competitive that particular search phrase is. There might be a whole lot of dentists in Raleigh, and they've all done some SEO work. So the next thing is that Google will look at is the links that come into your website, that point to your website, and all the different pages on your site plays a big factor in that. And so often you'll hear this is called link building. And it's basically making sure that other sites on the internet link to you. And that goes hand in hand with SEO. So you might be optimized for dentist Raleigh, but if nobody out there on the internet is linking to your website, particularly from places that might make sense, it might be other medical sites or dental blogs or something that's generally probably not a car dealership website, but something that is in the same industry, those links that point back to your site help Google to say, well, if someone linked to you, then they trust you. There must have been something on your website that they found of value that you're wanting to share. And so that's where blogs in particular become helpful, is if you have a simple website that just, you know, about us and here's our products, those don't tend to garner a whole lot of links coming in to those. But if you're putting out content, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, go ahead, continue.
I was just going to say, if you're putting out content that is very relevant and useful in your blog or other, you know, it could be white papers or other things that you're offering on your site, those are things that if people do find them of value, they're going to want to tell people about it, and they're going to link to you. And that's one great strategy to build those links back to your site that helps you to rank better organically alongside your search engine optimization or your SEO work.
So you mentioned a few things, and let's delve a little deeper in that. So one of the things you mentioned was the link building. And to go about is, one of the options is to do the blogs. And if you're providing good content, then the other links are going to be more prone to advertising for you and promote you. However, how are the other links going to know that you're putting this content out there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If we're just talking for right now, I'm just talking about two areas, just search engine optimization and then link building. And there are other methods out there. I'll touch on them real briefly and then come back to your question. You can use things like email marketing, social media marketing. You can do pay-per-click advertising with like Google AdWords or even Facebook and other platforms have advertising means that you can drive traffic to your site. So these are all other methods that you can use to bring traffic to you. But just within the realm of link building and SEO, if you were to go onto your website and if you had a blog and you carefully thought about the types of phrases that somebody out there would search for if they're looking for you, and go for the more, they're called long tail phrases, but instead of just dentist Raleigh, it might be dentist that specializes in children Raleigh, or pediatric dentist in Raleigh. It could be a longer phrase like that, that you know, or dentists that work with children who are afraid, things like that. Those are phrases that
I see.
You
How
can about blog
like
about.
For coaches? Because quite a few of our listeners are coaches as well. So if it is a coach, would that be something? So for example, somebody could say a life coach that gets people to unstuck. Is that the phrase we are talking about?
It could be. So what you would want to do as a life coach, if you're thinking, you know, if you go out there and say, well, I'm going to write a blog post about life coach, or it could be life coach Dallas, Texas, or whatever, wherever you may be located, chances are there's probably a lot of life coaches in that area, and it's going to be a fairly crowded and competitive space. But if you look at it and say, you know what, I do coaching, but I'm really looking to work with small business owners that own landscaping businesses for whatever reason, maybe that's your niche, or maybe it's a dentist, or, you know, whatever, life coaching for dentists. Those are the types of things that you can write about in your blog that are going to be very specific. So if someone goes out there and searches for, you know, small business owner in Raleigh need life coach. So that's a phrase. It's a pretty long phrase, but it's not totally unrealistic that someone might search for that. But that phrase is, because it's longer, the competition is going to be much less heavy on something like that. And so over time, if you're continuously pumping out blog articles about that type of a specific topic, you'll find over time with if you have 100 different posts out there that are along those lines, you'll find you'll get a lot of traffic through that, and you're not having to spend a whole lot of time and effort trying to market it, as long as you're carefully choosing how you title the article. And there's some basic SEO things that you can do whenever you're posting that blog item, but it's certainly not rocket science, and things you can find online pretty easy if you go after those longer tail phrases first. And over time, you'll find as your site's been up longer and you're getting more traffic to your site due to the blogging after the longer phrases, you'll find over time you'll start performing better for those shorter phrases as well. And so it might take a while for that to happen, and it depends on your industry. But that's a good strategy to consider as you're building a new site and you're trying to attract traffic. And just by using those specific topics, if nobody else out there has written an article about, you know, life coach for small business owners in Raleigh that, you know, whatever, have children, then you may find you'd get you're going to, just by writing the article itself, you don't have to market it other than you're just posting it out there on the internet. Google's going to see it. And when people search for those specific phrases, they'll find you. And so you're going after a quantity of those phrases over time. You just keep writing more and putting more content out there like that.
So basically, from what I'm hearing, is it's very crucial to figure out what your competitors are writing about, what blogs are out there, what searches are out there. And there is Google Analytics where you can just go in and look for the most, type in different phrases and find out what is being more searched by areas. That actually Google Analytics will also break down by region, by US and other countries. And using those phrases, you could use it as a long-tailed phrase in your title as well as inside the blog. Would that strategy work, Daniel?
Right. So Google Analytics is a wonderful tool. It's free. And if you're not already using Google Analytics, you really should be. It's simple to set up, and you know, contact your web developer, and they can have that incorporated for you fairly quickly, but there's a gold mine of information you can pull from in there. And once your site's been up for a little while, you can go in there and look at trends to find out, when I've blogged about this topic, I see I get more traffic, and that traffic happens to be in certain areas geographically. Or it might be you can see in your Google Analytics what phrases people had searched for on Google to actually find your site. And so when you look at those, they may give you ideas, oh, I need to be writing more about that. And so you want to look for things that make you stand out from your competitors. So it's a good idea to do competitive analysis and look at what are your competitors doing, because if you see a trend there, you know, if other people are doing it, chances are there's some good things there to learn. But also, as far as, you know, what they're writing about and different things, you know, you may want to look for other opportunities where some of the competitors are not currently putting content out, and then you fill that gap that you think may be overlooked, and allows you to get some traffic that way.
No, definitely. Some really hot tips over there. So we have talked about SEO. We have talked about what can we do to get people online. Now, we have the website, and of course, for the website, you need a web hosting company. So how does the web hosting company relate to the website, and how important it is to know what web hosting company to choose?
That's a very good question, and this is a conversation that I have very often with our clients and also prospects. So web hosting, you could compare it to a house that you're going to rent. So you need a place for your web content to live, and so you have to build a website. But you need property to build that house or for that house to be on, so to speak. And so generally, most people don't have their own servers, and so they're not owning that server where the website is going to live and be hosted from, so they're going to rent that space from somewhere. And so there's companies out there like GoDaddy, Bluehost, HostGator. There's many of them out there. You can go there and you can pay, you know, a small amount of money per month, and they're letting you use their server space to host your website files so that people on the internet can now come find your website. The hosting companies like the ones that I've mentioned, can be a good fit, particularly for smaller companies if you don't have a lot of traffic on your site. One area or pitfall, which should say, that I see clients falling into is using a lower end hosting service just because of, for cost reasons, oh wow, it's only $5 a month. You know, I should host my website there. And I would caution folks, you know, think about this, you know, in relation to other things with your business. If you said, I need liability insurance for my company. Well, I don't really care about the coverage or how good it is. I'm just going to find the cheapest thing out there. Well, okay, you might find the cheapest insurance out there, but when you have a problem, chances are that insurance isn't going to help you very much. And so often that you're going to find the same thing with web hosting as well. When you go cheap, there's consequences of that. And sometimes you can go cheap and not have any problems. But the areas that I found that are problems would be things like backups, or let's say you put a website out there and heaven forbid your website gets hacked. And you find out about it, maybe your host tells you, or maybe you find out that it's been hacked, and you're like, okay, what do I do next? And you contact your hosting company and say, you know, what can we do? And they're just if it's a low-end hosting company, they might say, well, you've got to fix that. That's not our problem. You've got to figure out a way to deal with that. And so you may say, well, isn't there a backup that we can restore back to? And well, a lot of low-end hosting companies, they may claim they do backups. Some don't do backups at all. They have a button. They're going to assume you go in yourself and you click the backup button. And, you know, who really does that? Or if they do backups, they don't go back far enough, because most of the time when I've seen when people's websites get compromised in some degree, they often don't realize it, at least for a few days. Sometimes it's a week or two. And so when that happens, they go to their hosting company and say, hey, our site's been compromised. I'm not really sure when. Can we step back and restore back to maybe 3 weeks ago? Most lower-end web hosting companies, they're not going to go back that far and offer that. Then they say, well, I can restore you back to yesterday. Well, if you were hacked yesterday or the day before, then going back a day doesn't really help you all that much. And these hosting companies often won't provide you a whole lot of support as far as fixing your site when it's hacked. And I'm speaking in broad strokes here. There are some hosting companies that they will help you in some of those regards, but generally you don't find a whole lot of it. When it's the lower cost type of situation, generally you don't get a lot. The support is somewhat lacking when you have those problems. And so, I recommend if you're looking for hosting, don't be afraid to spend $20-$40 a month for your web hosting if your website is important to you. If your website's not important to you, go with the cheapest option out there. And if your website were to get damaged in some way or lost, if that's not going to be a big deal for you, then cheap may be fine. But I think it's better to look for a smaller hosting company that is somebody you can talk to in person. You can develop a relationship with them so that when there's problems, they're there. They can help you quickly. They're not looking to nickel and dime you on little things or services. They're there to take good care of you. And so, like many things in life, I think that's a better approach a lot of the time than just looking for the cheapest option. And when you go with these smaller hosting companies, often they have the flexibility to do things for your site that a larger company just simply won't do for you. So that's kind of my two cents on hosting is, don't go cheap. Look for a smaller company that might cost a little bit more, but still, the grand scheme of things, $20 a month or $30 a month for a business is not a huge expense. You're going to spend way more than that for, phone service and, let alone rent or whatever else you may have for the business. So if you're not going to go cheap on these other areas, you probably ought not to go cheap on your web hosting as well.
Absolutely. So Daniel, let's say you mentioned about recovering the website content, that some of the web hosting services will only recover up to a day or 2 days. Now, if business owners were to go to web hosting companies that are reliable and they have built a relationship, so usually how far do the web hosting companies can go to see, how far do they recover back?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Usually. That's a good question. And when you're evaluating a web hosting company, you need to ask a couple very specific questions. Because if you just say, hey, do you back up your websites? They'll say, oh, sure, we do that. Don't let it end there. You need to ask a couple questions like, do you back up both the files for my website as well as any databases? A lot of websites like WordPress websites, they require a database. And so if you back up the files and not the database, you can't restore back your site. So you want to make sure both of those are being done. And you also want to ask, how far back do these backups go? So you could give them a scenario. Let's say my website was hacked 17 days ago. Is that something that you could restore back, and would you charge any fee to back us up to that? And unfortunately, I think you'll find in most, or at least many cases, they're going to say, no, we only go back a week, or maybe we go back, if you're lucky, 2 weeks. Or they'll say you need to back it up yourself so that you have that ability to go back as far as you want. But what I think is the best case scenario is that your web hosting company ought to have backups that go back daily, at least a week, so every single day. So you've got a backup from today, yesterday, day before, going back at least a week daily. 2 or 3 weeks would be even better. Beyond that, it'd be good to have weekly backups. So let's say you've got a daily backup going back 7 days. So today's Wednesday, so I could restore back to any one of the 7 days up until last Wednesday to put it exactly where it was, whenever an automatic backup was done. Well, let's say that something happened prior to those 7 days. So at the very least, we'd want to have some weekly backups going beyond that. So let's say 5 weeks prior to this last week, you've got one backup done every 1 day each week. And so if you need to go back 2 weeks, okay, well, we can do that. We can't restore you back necessarily to a Wednesday, but maybe it's a Tuesday. So we'll take you back there. And then on top of that, it'd be nice, let's say that goes back 3 or 4 weeks, it'd be nice to have a monthly backup that goes back maybe 6 months. And so now you've got this flexibility to go back a very long period of time. And most companies, you're not able to have a complete backup of your website every single day going back forever because it does take up space. But you certainly could have monthly backups, you know, for 6 months and older. Everything from 6 months and newer, you've got weekly backups. And if it's the last few weeks, you've got daily backups. So something like that is a much more robust approach. Unfortunately, you don't find that with a lot of the larger low-end cost hosting companies, but that's what I would recommend for folks. And if you go with a smaller hosting company, generally they're willing to accommodate that if you talk with them about it.
Oh, great advice, because I will share a personal story. One of my coach friends, we were just chatting, and we were talking about this websites and all the deal. And what happened was she was working with another website person in Canada. And then a few days later, we are having a conversation and she said that her website person had lost all the database. And all he had recovered was up to 2 weeks. And so her blogs from like, you know, 2 or 3 years back, like the whole list of almost 200 blogs that she had written, everything was gone. So of the other advice that I would, yes, one of the other things I would recommend to our audience is if you're doing it, keep a list of your blogs with date on your Word document on your computer hardware as well. And also, as Daniel mentioned, to go ahead and search out a web hosting company that provides you with all the tips that he has shared with us. Great, valuable tips, because after seeing her go through that nightmare, I can tell you, she fretted and she was so devastated that I can't tell you, because it takes a long time to build up that database.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be extremely devastating for a small business owner when they're doing a lot of business-related activities, Elvis, as well as providing the services, as well as doing the bookkeeping, as well as doing their own personal life and family life, pulling and keeping everything together. So keeping little structures and frameworks in your business practices can go a long way. And that is your content. Your content is your thing, so definitely look out for a good web hosting company that can hold your data for a longer period of time. So we have talked about the website. We have delved into a lot of different things. Now, as you mentioned, Daniel, that, you know, there is a presence of you online, and as there is a presence, you're connecting with people, and people start trusting you. And then that's going to lead towards your business and towards expanding your business. So towards that, the term branding has become synonymous with so many different things. So in your perspective, what does an online branding mean? And how can small business owners, especially the service owners, or even if it is product entrepreneurs or the service entrepreneurs, how can they go about building their brand online?
Okay, that's a good question. And again, I think that's often overlooked by particularly small companies that are just getting started, or they think that a logo equals brand, and sometimes any logo will do, and that's also can be a bad situation. What I would recommend when you're considering branding online, which is tremendously important, if you look at big name brands, you know, Google, Apple, any of the large automotive companies, you'll see that they spend a lot of effort on how they brand themselves online. And when you're starting a new business, or perhaps, you know, you've already got a business, it all starts with, as we were discussing earlier, what is it that you provide? What makes you unique from some of your competitors out there? And who are you really trying to target? You know, try to get as specific as you can, and think about, you know, well, I'd love to coach these types of people. Well, you know, look at your clientele. Well, you know, my best clients happen to be interested in certain things. Maybe they like to golf, or they're in a specific geographical location. But look for trends like that so that you can be really specific about who you want to target. And then once you have that idea of that ideal client or customer that you're trying to reach, you want to make sure that you're solving the pain that they're facing. So if you know that people in this situation, that these are people that are great clients for you, but they tend to always run into issues with X, Y, and Z. Their concern is they don't have this, or they really need this, or they don't know how to do that. You want to position yourself to say, well, guess what? That's exactly what we do. We specialize in that. We do it really well. And so thinking about that, often that when people think of branding, they don't think of in those terms, but think about what service you can offer to solve those pain points that your clients are going to face. And then once you realize what that may be, maybe it's faster turnaround time, or maybe it's lower cost, or maybe it's more attention, or whatever that may be, you figure out what you're going to emphasize with your marketing and with your branding. And your branding needs to certainly reflect that, both on your website, if you're going to use social media or email marketing. You need to have a consistent message, which is visual, as well as the text, the tone of the verbiage that you use, the voice, so to speak, in your writing. It needs to be consistent across different platforms. And so if you're using social media and you're using email marketing, and then you've got a website, you want to make sure that the vocabulary that you're using across those three different areas matches up. So if someone gets an email marketing campaign from you and you're talking about a specific, whatever, search engine optimization, if they go to your website, they may want to learn more about that. So make sure you're using that same terminology there. And your voice is the same. And every company's voice is going to be a little different, whether it's going to be lighthearted and fun or very serious. Those are things that ought to be carried out in your tweets on Twitter and updates on Facebook and your blog, your email marketing, all that should have a similar tone so that people feel like they're interacting with a consistent personality online. And then visually, you want to think about, again, who are the demographics we're trying to reach and what are the visual things that they may respond to. And so that might be an example might be the photographs that they're going to respond to. So you want to think about, well, if I'm trying to reach this specific demographic of individuals, you know, they're going to respond to a picture of, you know, maybe a woman versus a man, or a picture of a certain age group, or, you know, the whatever it is you're looking in your branding needs to all go back to who is it you're trying to reach and try to market to. Your brand needs to show that. And so that imagery that you pick, it needs to be carefully thought through, and go back to that marketing plan and implement it on your website, again, social media, everything else. And it needs to you always need to ask yourself, who is the ideal client? Now, would they care about this? Would they respond to this message that I'm sending out, you know, specifically? What is it that they care about? And if you're writing about things that don't really line up with that ideal demographic, then you're probably wasting some time there. So that's, I guess, if I had to summarize branding there, it's your writing and voice. It's going to be the photographs that you use, and then of course also your logo and the color palettes that you use in all of your branding. That needs to be consistent across all of your platforms, and it's online as well as offline. If you have brochures or business cards, you know, your logo and your colors, they need to be somewhat consistent so that when people see you, they remember who you are and they remember that logo, and they remember that branding that goes along with it, the color branding, I should say. So those are all things to consider with online branding and as well as offline.
So these are the ways that you can get people to trust you, and it could just be a slogan as well. So for example, it's a three-word slogan, just do it, and everybody associates that three-word slogan with Nike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Coca-Cola, right? The happiness. even though it has, it gives you that association, and that association automatically, because it's been repeated so many times through the ads, and which we already talked about, right? Having your website place into the first place, that's really crucial, because then people keep on seeing the message quite often, and that's how you gain the trust, and you are gaining the credibility in your people's eyes. And one of the things that I loved what you said was, are you writing to resolve the problem that your audience is seeking for? Are you resolving the problem and the pain they're having? Because if they're not, then they're not going to be interested in you. It's always about thinking, what's in it for me? Our society, especially with the fast technology that we are going through, we jump from one website to one website, and you only have probably like 5 to 6 seconds, and maybe now that has even shrunk down to 3 or 4 seconds before you can grab the attention of your reader. So in that case, having your that homepage, having something that connects or resonates with your audience and with your market is so crucial. So would you say that those are the techniques to get people to trust your brand online? And do you have any other tips?
Yeah, I mean, everything you said there makes a lot of sense. And if you go back and you look at the examples you gave, Coca-Cola with happiness or Nike with Just Do It, you know, neither of them, you know, so Coca-Cola is not like, hey, we sell sweet, great tasting drinks. You know, that's not their slogan. And, you know, Just Do It, it's not, hey, we sell comfortable running shoes. They're really, each of these brands, they're thinking, they're it's the psychology behind everything. What is the mindset of the people that's going to want to buy our products? What are they looking for? They're looking for happiness or a good life, perhaps. They're wanting to be, you know, aggressive in their exercising, and, you know, the people who exercise tend to be the ones that, you know, they're just going to do it. They've got that motivation there. And so these messages resonate with that psychology of the demographic of who they're trying to target. And it's more about that than it is, you know, listing the services that you have to offer, although you could go a little too far and be so obscure that people don't quite understand what it is that you do. And that could also be a pitfall for small businesses. You know, if you have a, you know, Coca-Cola can get away having a slogan like happiness, because they're pumping millions and millions and millions of dollars in radio advertising and TV advertising and video that explains, well, what does it mean? How does Coca-Cola have anything to do with happiness? You see that in those advertising, and so that makes more sense. But if for smaller businesses, you may not be able to go quite that vague, but you always need to be thinking of the psychology and the mindset of your potential clients or customers. And what is their personality types, and what are they, you know, what's going to resonate with them?
Mm. Now, this is great. These are great tips. So, Danielle, let me ask you this. Do you offer any tips for our readers? Do you have any newsletter that they can join in, or they can contact you online? What is the best way to get in touch with you or sign up for your newsletter?
Oh, certainly. So if you go to our website, it's just pageprogressive.com. You'll see there's a place there where you can, I believe it says follow us up at the top right corner. There's like a little orange tab there, and you can follow us on social media there. There's also a button there for our newsletter, so you can click that and subscribe. Of course, we don't share information with anybody else. Our newsletter pretty much is a recap of our blog that goes out, and we post out a lot of, every month we post at least 2, sometimes 3 articles on things such as that we've covered today, like search engine optimization or social media, or it could be on branding. It's just an ongoing, we're always putting out information like that to help people to know, you know, kind of what's the newest trends that are going on in the web development world or internet marketing world, and a lot of people find that helpful for their business. And we target that primarily to smaller business owners. So that may be something that is of value to the listeners out there.
No, definitely. That's one of the very key things to have in mind, is that, you know, what's the newest trend? Especially with so many things changing, there's so many fast-paced trends and Google and everything. So to keep up with it, this is a good way for our listeners to tune in. And as I had said at the beginning of the show, Danielle is highly recommended by me. I have a great personal experience, not for one, two, however, I'm talking about several years in a row now. And I would recommend that if you're in need for your website to be designed, Danielle is your man. Feel free to reach out to him. And again, listeners, if you are looking out to reach out to me, my website address is www.diviaparekh.com. And my email address is contact@diviaparekh.com. Feel free to reach out to me with any questions you have. And Daniel, you know, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show, especially you sharing all that valuable information so generously and not holding back at all, sharing this information that will help our audience, especially entrepreneurs, take their business to the next level. Thank you again for joining us on the show.
Sure. Thank you, Divya. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thank you, and I wish you the best. And listeners, until our next show, here's your host, Divya Parekh, taking your leave and wish you a powerful next few days before we join in again. Take care. Bye-bye.